Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Jayant Bhandari. He is a consultant to a lot of well-known large investors in the resource space. I bring Jayant on a fairly regular basis just to get a general update on the stocks that he's looking at, opportunities that he's seeing, and broad commodity comments. Let's start with the broad commodity comments here, Jayant, in terms of resources. Look, there's a bit more of a focus now on base metals, precious metals. Well, they have bounced. I still think it's most of the precious metals diehards that are still following the space and actively investing right now, although I do think that there are a number of people watching and waiting for a more sustained breakout. But, Jayant, which commodity or resource has your attention right now that you think should be noted for investors?
Well, Corey, the thing is that China and the rest of East Asia is doing extremely well economically. The Western media, and I think the media elsewhere, has mostly ignored the successes of East Asia to do with COVID-19. You might be surprised to hear that in Japan, whose death rate had been continuously going up for many, many years, it actually fell in 2020 by 0.7%, as if COVID-19 was a lifesaver for Japan. Japan did not have a single day of lockdown, and so has been pretty much the case with a lot of East Asia. And China's faced lockdown only for about 2 months, and they have mostly forgotten about COVID-19 since April last year. So the economies there are doing very well, and that is pretty much the reason why commodity prices have been very well supported. Also, because China was worried about a possible problem with the economy to do with COVID-19, they gave a lot of cheap loans to companies and they invested a lot of money in infrastructure. The end result was that steel production went up by 6%. And that is also the reason behind why commodity prices have been very well supported, because China actually increased its consumption of all commodities in 2020, unlike what was the case with other countries. And China was also exporting more goods last year when globalization was suffering. So people really should pay attention to what's happening in East Asia, which has actually emerged as a place which is run in a very good way, in a very solid way, the fact that their economies are doing so well.
So, Jayant, when I hear about China and Asia broadly, when it comes to driving demand for resources, the one thing we've seen throughout history is that Asian cultures can be very good at being price sensitive when it comes to buying some of these metals. They tend to load up and build inventories at lower prices and scale back some of their purchases when metals prices rise. You look at something like copper. Copper's really close to all-time highs. Do you think that it's reasonable to still think that Asian countries, especially China, can continue to drive that demand?
I certainly think so. I, again, of course, haven't been to China for the last 1.5 years now, but I have been going to China for the last many, many years and multiple times a year. And I think the country has the energy, the focus, and the organizations in place to continue economic growth for many years into the future. And I know it does. A lot of people consider China to be a paper tiger, but that is, of course, not the case, Corey. All you have to do is to look around yourself. Most of the value added stuff that you see in front of you, your computer, the laptops, etc., cell phones, are very likely to be made in China. China is a real country, and I have seen real changes happening in that country. And I think the direction is good. The passion and the energy you see among the people is good. And you see people being very focused on continual progress. So I am reasonably confident that at least the Chinese part of equation, which is that China consumes more than 50% of every commodity on the planet, will continue to be well supported and actually increase. Also because China is increasing exports as well. People, despite all the complaints they have about China, and some of those complaints are legitimate, The fact remains that where else do you get these things manufactured? China is the only place which can supply commodities in large products in large numbers, and it has the infrastructure and the quality control to provide you those things. They supplied a huge amount of medical equipment to the world last year. So again, China is, I see nothing that can stop Chinese economic progress. And there are reasons to worry about China, but those are separate issues. Economically, China is going to continue to do very well. One thing that I might point out is about the coal consumption, which is actually going to suffer going forward, because Japan has recently announced that they are going to significantly reduce carbon dioxide emissions from their coal projects within the next 10 years, which is a very aggressive target. And also, India imports a huge amount of coal. The only influence, as far as I know, India has in commodities is in coal and gold. And coal imports from into India might suffer, because Indian economy is in truly, truly bad shape. And I was in India 2 days back. The scenes, they aren't pretty. People are sort of in mourning. Economy will suffer. And as a result, electricity consumption will very likely fall in that country.
Okay. Giant, let's talk about some of the stocks then, or your broad strategy for where you're investing some of your money. Because one comment that I just continue to hear is how undervalued, let's say, gold stocks are to the gold price, even after this correction. But the fact of the matter is, you can't just make that comment for all the gold stocks, because the market does dictate value. So where do you see that you're focusing for precious metal stocks?
I look for whichever company that offers me value at any point of time. There's one company that I have been following for a very long time, for the last 10, 15 years. The company is Nucor Gold. This company was known as, I think, Pinecrest at one point of time. And I used to own shares in that company at that time. They have a project in Ghana, Corey, and I have had my spreadsheets on this company for all these years. I think they have fewer tonnage in the new calculations and higher grade. The net result is that I think they have a nicer project, although they must increase their tonnage by about maybe 30% or so to make it attractive to a major company. But for now, they can produce something like 100,000 ounces a year, which is actually a very good number, but maybe not for 10 years or so. So from what I see, based on the drill results that they have had, it seems that they are filling in areas that were in between the gold zones, which means that the resources are very likely to increase when they do a new resource release in a couple of months' time. So that's a company that I feel very good about. I think, given what they have, my current share price of 60 cents or so is very well supported based on the value of what they already have. And they should be able to add maybe 20 to 30% more tonnage to the resources. But the real upside will be if they really are able to put together a structure of high-grade resources below the current saprolite and transition zone. If that happens, that's where the good upside would be. But again, at the current share price, I'm already well supported in terms of downside.
Okay, so you see the downside risk is being limited because of that resource that the company already has published. Plus, look, the company has a massive drill program that is still ongoing, with the goal of increasing the overall resource and also making some of these new discoveries. When it comes to that blue sky, though, you outlined the potential of drilling at depth. Take us through why you think this could be another catalyst or key driver for the stock.
I am very happy to invest in this company, even if they did not have any potential to find higher grade rock at depth. The reason, from what I have seen based on the geology, is that this could be a continuation of the same system that is at Chirano, which, and I have been to Chirano, it's a very nice project with thick systems of relatively high-grade gold underground. And if a similar kind of system exists at Enchi, then that's where the high-grade potential comes from. Now, the interesting thing is that they have actually, from what I know, never drilled a deep hole except in the recent past, in which they have actually been hitting some decent grade holes. So that's where the fun comes from if you want to make a nice upside here.
All right. Well, hey, Giant, I appreciate the update. I have chatted a fair bit with Nucor. If anybody has any follow-up questions for Giant or for the Nucor Gold guys, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. And Giant, we'll chat again in another couple weeks. Thanks, as always, for your update, and have a great rest of your week.
Great. Thank you very much, Corey.